Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Now we're turning to John's Gospel and the chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're coming to our second study of the little boy who handed over what I think I can call his lunch to the Savior, that the multitude might be fed. You know, boys and girls, sometimes when we read something, we've got to go back over it and read it again in order for every part of it to sink in. But then that's a lesson that we daily learn if we would take note of it. And by that I mean, when you put food into your mouth, you begin to chew it. And you just don't bite it once or twice. But depending on what particular type of food it is you're eating, sometimes you have to chomp on it quite a bit before it's ready to be swallowed. Well, reading is like that. You have to chomp over it a few times to catch all the meaning that's in it. And that's especially the case with the Bible. You can never, never, never take in all that a verse says with one reading of the words. You have to go over it. Indeed, I have found, having been reading the Bible now for 60 years, that I come to portions that I've read numerous times before, and lo and behold, I find in that very portion that I've read before something that I can chew over yet again and extract fresh sweetness from it. Well, here in John chapter 6, let's quickly read from verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Now, why are we told that one of his disciples? Well, it would appear that not all of the disciples saw the lad. Just one saw the lad. Just one. And as I'm speaking to you, not all of you are listening. Yeah, you're looking at me, and you're looking very intelligent and very smart and very attentive, but your mind can be somewhere else. But here is one disciple, and he spotted this lad. He spotted this lad. And he saw in his hand some food, and he recognized the potential that this food had. And so he tells the Lord, there's a lad here, and he hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then doubts break in to the mind of Andrew. He saw at first, you know, maybe the Lord can make use of this. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And even as he had described the portion the wee boy had, the doubts arose. But then, what's that in the feeding of the multitude that's here? Ah, we're prone to doubts, boys and girls. They follow on the heels of faith. Faith is always hounded by doubts. As soon as we believe something, the devil suggests a reason why we should doubt it. Oh, yes. But despite the doubts of Andrew, a wonderful miracle was wrought that day. Verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. That is, let them take up a position whereby they can receive what it is I'm going to give them. If they're standing, well, they're not quite in a position to readily receive food. We normally sit down at the table. We normally adopt an attitude that enables us to properly enjoy our food. And it's the same here. We have to adopt an attitude whereby we're receiving the word of God. We keep our eyes front. We keep our ears likewise, taking in what is said, so that we might receive the food of God. Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Quite a crowd of people are thus fed by the Lord. Now, as we finished off last week, we said we'd have to come back to this just to observe some more matters. But we did notice last week how that the lad, in his generosity, handed over to the Saviour what little portion of food he had, given by his mother, doubtless, to see him through that day. But it's only in John's Gospel here that we read this. And that should make us wonder and think, why did Matthew not mention it? Why did Mark not mention it? Why did Luke not mention it? Why did John only mention it? Now that is so in order for us to think about it. Why? God wants you to think. The Bible is a book that prompts thinking. It prompts thinking. I suggested to you that because of the nature of the Gospel of John, it's a book that sets forth the deity, the divinity of the Lord Jesus. He was God. Never forget that. He was God. The one who stood there that day amongst all that multitude was the one who had created the world. And being God, he would have us note that he saw what little boys and little girls did and noted it. So he has John make a record of what this boy did. That you and I can read it 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later, we're reading about what this little boy did. And millions have read about it since it happened. Since John wrote it down, millions have read about it. Millions have read about it. Because the Lord wants boys and girls to know. He hears what you say. He knows what you're thinking. And he watches what you do. Takes note of it. Keeps a record of it. Oh, if only men and women, as well as boys and girls, knew that God misses nothing and writes down a record of the ways of men. And one day, those who have rejected him will stand before him and they'll answer for that which they have done. Did you ever think about that? We go through this world occupied by what's going on around us, the noises, the things that are being done, that occupies us. We never think one day we're going to stand before God and give an account. That happens in the classroom all the time, you know. Over the years since the school began, and I had links with it, I know there have been many times when the teacher went out of the classroom and shortly after then everybody was up doing what they shouldn't be doing. Not continuing to work on their books as they had been told, but the gossiping began, the talk began, and never did anybody think we're going to have to answer to the teacher for this. They never think of that. Then the door opens, in comes the teacher, and everybody's all caught where they shouldn't be, doing what they shouldn't be doing. And there has dawned that moment they never thought about it. When the teacher says, "What are you doing?" They never thought of that. They never thought that that would happen. Well, I'll tell you, boys and girls, there is a day appointed on God's calendar when every one who has disobeyed God and rejected the gospel will give an account. Well, the Lord notices what this wee boy does. And we're going to think today about how that what this boy did, simple little thing, offered up his lunch to the Lord for the Lord to use it for the benefit of others. What that boy did brought about a situation where others in that crowd recognized, at least to some degree, who Jesus was. What he did resulted in others seeing who Jesus was. That is how we should live. We should so live, speak and act day by day as to make others think about Christ and realize who he is. You know that in the Gospels we read of people being healed of every form of disease. In chapter 9 of John's Gospel, there's a man who's healed from blindness. He had been born blind, never had seen, and the Lord healed him. Suddenly he could see. And that began a debate among all the people who knew him. Is it really him? How can he now see? What has happened? And he gave the answer. A man called Jesus did this. And I tell you, boys and girls, in our lives, we should so live and so speak and so act as to bring attention to the Lord Jesus. That's what this lad did. Because if we look down the passage in John chapter 6, after the Lord had fed the multitude and there was more left over than what he had started with, there was a reaction. Verse 14, would you look at it? Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth, that prophet who should come into the world." What this lad did resulted in men there being stirred to remember something that had been said a long time ago about one who would come into the world as the Messiah. There's very few people, even in this dark and evil world, who don't know something about the Bible. Very few people. And it is our task, boys and girls, to so live as to cause them to think about the Bible and what it is they know. That's what happened here. These men had in their mind some knowledge about the Bible, some knowledge about what had been said about a promised Messiah. They never thought about it until the boy gave his food to the Savior, and the Savior wrought a miracle. So the little boy was the means of causing others to think about Christ. That's what we ought to do. But please note that we can never understand anything about the Christ of God without the help of the Bible. Look at exactly what is said here in the verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Where did they get that knowledge? From the Bible. You see, hundreds and hundreds of years before, the prophet Moses made a prediction. He told the people away hundreds of years before, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." That's what Moses had said. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the verse 19. And that had been taught down through the centuries to the Jewish people, those who went to the synagogue and those who went to school, because the Jewish children had school and they would have been taught the Bible in the school. And this is one of the things they would be taught. Moses said there would come a man, a Messiah, sent of God with a message of salvation. And as the little boy's food was broken by the Savior and fed a multitude, there were 5,000 men, and that's not counting the women that were there, and that's not counting the children that were there. So there were far more than 5,000. And as that was done in the presence of the men, there was a stirring. Is not this the one that Moses spoke about? Oh, if you and I are going to stir up in men's hearts and minds a knowledge of the Lord, we're going to need the Bible. We can't know God without the Bible. When the police are looking for a criminal and they go out to where a crime has been committed and they're trying to find the identity of the man or the location of the criminal, they usually carry what? A photograph. And they say to people, "Do you know this man? Do you know where this man is?" Boys and girls, that's what you and I do in a much better way. We take out the Bible and we say, "Look, there's a picture of the Lord." So we see here something to be noticed and learned. Boy in his actions prompted man to recall what was found in the Bible. We should so live, boys and girls, as to indeed show the Christ of God to men and women. Just like, as I said, the police do. When they're looking for someone, they show a picture. Doesn't have to always be a criminal. Maybe it's a wee boy or a wee girl that's disappeared, got lost, and they're out looking for him. And they have a picture and they say, "Have you seen this wee boy or girl?" Well, that should be our task. We should try to introduce Christ. And the only way we can do that is hold up the picture of him that's given us in the Bible. Christians are commanded to witness for Christ. I think I can say that there is no such thing as a quiet, silent Christian. That is, there's no such thing as a person who says, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian," but they never tell others about it. They never speak of the Lord. I don't think that's possible. In Romans, the chapter 10 is a very famous verse. Chapter 10 of Romans, and the verse 9, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, there's an interesting order in that verse. Paul doesn't say, "If thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth that God hath raised Christ from the dead, you'll be saved." Doesn't say that. He says it in the reverse order. Because I can't see what a Christian believes. Can't see that. But I can hear what a Christian says. So Paul is emphasizing how the Christian ought to speak as a result of believing that the Lord Jesus has died on the cross, has risen again the third day and is in heaven. Believing that, you'll be saved. But the speaking goes with the believing. Do you say you're a Christian today? In class? In school? Maybe there's a suggestion made to you, why don't we do this, and you know that's wrong. That's the time for you to say, no, I'll not do that, because I'm a Christian. I want to please the Lord, and doing that would not please the Lord. Listen to me, boys and girls. A Christian school is meant to be a place of shelter, but you cannot be perfectly sheltered from sin, no matter how good the Christian school. And the battles that you as an adult one day will face, you'll be facing something of them here. Because there'll always be someone among you who suggests or says or does something that's wrong. And you have to speak up and say, I'm a Christian, that's not right. Do you do that? Or do you do that? May the Lord help you to witness. I think you see this lad in giving his food. It was everything the lad had now. It was everything he had. Now, in him giving that to the Saviour, that indicates something. It indicates what he thought about the Lord. You see, I mention again about Andrew. It says in the verse 8, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, etc., etc. How did Andrew know that? Because you think of the clothing that they wore back then, long robes and that, the wee boy would have been dressed and stuff like that, and his lunch would not have been hanging out for everybody to see, but he would have had it concealed, I'm sure, in a pocket. So how did Andrew know? Because I believe, boys and girls, the wee boy came and said, this is not much, I know, but maybe it would help to feed the people. And he did that because he had a feeling concerning the Lord Jesus that he didn't have for anyone else. He knew the Lord Jesus was someone special. I think this wee lad did have faith in Christ. I know it's not specifically said that this is so, but I think it's certainly suggested in the actions that he takes. Why would he give up his lunch, his everything, and be ready to go hungry if he did not believe that the person to whom he was giving it was someone special? Now, that's how it is with us. If you're a Christian, it's because you believe the Lord Jesus is someone special. He is the Son of God. He is the Saviour of the world. He is the only one who can take us to heaven. And the Christian is someone who believes that and acts and lives accordingly. One last thing I want to say. Time's up. There were those who, noting what it is the Saviour did, took upon themselves to act in a fashion that was not pleasing to God. Now it says here, toward the end of this story, verse 15. John chapter 6, verse 15. Look at the wee bit that's put in at the tail end of the record of what this little boy did. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. In the previous verse, the verse 14, that's when the man said, you know, this must be the one that was promised. And then they took upon themselves, if he's the one that's promised, let's take him and make him king. That's what men do. They take things into their own hands. Maybe they think God's not quick enough, not acting fast enough. We'll speed things up. We'll advance the cause of God. We'll take the matter into our own hands and we'll make him the king. Oh yes, the prophecies concerning the Messiah entailed him being king. You remember what the wise men said when they came looking for the Saviour? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? That was one of the titles of the Messiah. And one day, boys and girls, we will see the Lord Jesus rule and reign, not only over the Jews, and them own him as their king, even though today they reject all notion of him. But one day he'll rule the earth. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And these men, recognizing that if this is the promised one that Moses spoke of, he's going to be king, well, let's hurry things on. Let's make him king. Would you see what the Savior did? He slipped away from them, went himself to a mountain to pray. We cannot speed up the purpose and plan of God. Our duty is just to wait on God's time and do what we can in submission to God's word to advance God's cause, but never try to take things into our own hands and speed things up. That's what men have always done. The Bible's full of instances of that. History's full of instances of that. Men thought, oh, I know, I have a good idea. I can really advance the cause of God. I'll do this. But what they're doing is not what God wants. Boys and girls, let me tell you, as we come to an end of our study today, it is our duty to study the Bible, learn from it just what is God's will, then seek to live it out, submit ourselves to God's plan and purpose. It's a lovely verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is a waiting on God, a going forward when he goes forward, but a standing still when he stands still. We're waiting with the Lord. We're walking in step with him. That's what being a Christian is. Walking in step with God. Not in step with the world, do you hear me? But being in step with God. Well, may the Lord bless you today. Let's bow together, please. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would present to the minds and hearts of boys and girls clear teaching from the wonderful story of this little lad, whose name we don't know, but who has set for us all a wonderful lesson to learn. Help us to give our all to Christ, and so set him forth as the Saviour of the world. Bless the school today, I plead. The victory of the cross to be known and experienced here in the school today. Bless the teachers, bless the pupils, bless the home represented for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.